My name's Shane Iverson. I'm currently the general manager of KYUK. I had the pleasure of working alongside John Active for many years. Managing John, for me, was a bit of a challenge. What wasn't challenging about it was once you got him in the game, you didn't have to worry. You didn't have to think. You just knew he was going to perform, and it was going to be awesome. It was going to be entertaining. It was going to be insightful. So the challenge was keeping him motivated to get into the game. And I think John was well aware that he was extremely talented and that he could get away with stuff that other people couldn't by the mere fact that we couldn't replace him. So, you know, to that effect, he was a bit of a diva to work with. Honestly, John would kind of get his own playbook. He would be able to maybe vent his frustrations towards me in a way that I might not let other employees. For me, that always caused me a little bit of, I just questioned myself and the way I would handle him. But then when he passed, a lot of former KYUK staff members who worked with him in the day, I didn't even bring up the subject, but they would just say, yeah, John, you had to have a different rule book for him. Or, he wasn't always easy, but he was usually the best, and he could just get away with stuff other people couldn't. And part of that, too, was his charm, because he was extremely charming. So if he would bark at me one day, the next day, and probably for the week after, he would be the sweetest, most gentlest, most funniest person in my life.
My memories of John was just in the, 3 years I got to work with him. And he was always bringing food in. Was that something that he did from the beginning, you remember? Or was that something more towards the end?
Well, John always did love to cook. And towards the end, KYUK, it probably more than ever, really became his home. Like, he would come in here and be with us, even if he wasn't working on anything. I think all of that kind of combined so that we got the benefit of more dishes being cooked like right here in our break area with whatever John could summon, whether it was just like a hot pan or cooking with a toaster or whatever. I mean, he would just find a way in a really small space to make scrumptious food. And I like to hunt and fish and provide, and he would demand the foods that I had caught, whereas other people might just hint that they were in need of moose meat or bird. He would pretty much tell me, like, bring it over here. Why isn't it over here? I have plans to cook it, and I'm not thawing it. I hope you're thawing it, because it should be thawed by the time it gets over here at 5 o'clock. And again, like, most people couldn't get away with that. But to me, it was like John understood his role and his gift, and that was creating delicious food. So I just took it like, yes, it is his duty to cook it, and it's my duty to catch it and bring it to him, and we'll all benefit from it.
It also is wrapped up into this role he carried of culture bearer in terms of with the language, with the storytelling, with him being an ambassador of the culture in many ways, and then also with the food, too. And I remember sitting down multiple times when he'd be eating and he would start telling me, like one time he had a burbot in front of him and he was picking out the individual bones and telling, like, if you put the bones together, it like tells this, the origin story of the fish. And I saw him becoming more of a culture bearer, it seemed like, the longer he was here. Was that something that you were pushing him in the direction of?
I would say encouraging, because the news work, the journalism work, and the translating and interpreting work, his capacity was diminishing, but he was just as potent as ever with his storytelling. And he just always enjoyed that aspect. So I think that took on a little more prominent role, quite a bit of more prominent role in his final years. To me, what really set John apart, it's not just his stories, but that was part of it, because he did have some tremendous storytellers around him. But my theory is that it was his courage that really set him apart. And the reason I say that is because I found when I can become like comfortable with someone from this region, like especially someone who's older than me, or not even, I mean, just anyone who's kind of in step with Yupik culture and tradition, there's a lot of people with stories. There's a lot of people who can tell good stories. But the difficulty is unlocking those stories. And so in most instances, it takes kind of like a deep familiarity. And the storyteller really has to believe that you're going to value their story and that you want to hear it before they'll share it. But John, he's just courageous in that he wasn't afraid to tell stories. He wasn't afraid of sticking out, of being called not humble. He just pushed through that fear, you know, and it's the same reason why he could be a journalist, which I think is very difficult for people from here, because you have to ask really direct questions and it takes a lot of courage. And so, you know, it's not a word I often hear associated with him, but in my mind, he was very courageous, because I know several times where I could see him shaking before an event, maybe public speaking, or before he was going to do a big presentation. And that was fear-based adrenaline. But he would still just go knock it out of the park.
When KYUK started in this area, that was the beginning of public media in this area. But it was also the beginning of John's career in entertainment and public media. And they both grew together over the decades. How did he help shape what KYUK was becoming and has become?
I do my best to imagine what it must have been like, because obviously I wasn't here. But I am a student of history, and I do like learning where we've been to help us know who we are now and where we should go. Whether it was coincidence or convergence or divine intervention, KYUK did start at right about the time John was a young man, right? And so I am sure that a vibrant, youthful John Active was known to everyone in Bethel. He must have been. And so I can only imagine that once the radio station got started, people were encouraging him. It was a much smaller community. People were encouraging him to get on the airwaves. We have to remember at this time, there was no such thing as Alaska Native or American Indian media. You know, there was like Hollywood, and sometimes they would cast American Indians or Alaska Natives, but there was nothing at that time that was created by and for Native Americans or Alaskan Natives. So again, whether it was coincidence, convergence, or divine intervention, John really became the perfect vessel because he was so courageous, because he was so creative, and because he was so in tune with people. He was the perfect person to take on this new challenge, this new format. Radio in the YK Delta. Of course, people knew what radio was, but it had never existed out here, and few people from here had ever experienced it unless they had traveled out. So I think we're really fortunate that we had someone like John to begin that creative intellectual process and to really sell people that public media in indigenous areas is highly valuable, not just to the people they're serving, but to everyone who wants to learn something new about it, about a culture or about a people that we live side by side with.
And not just public media in indigenous areas, but a public media in indigenous area that reflects and is by the community. Like, it sounds like, you know, KYUK wasn't trying to imitate this version of public media, but to create its own version. That's what I've picked up on.
Yeah, because we wouldn't have had the same sort of interconnectivity that we had now. We didn't have satellites and the internet to feed us with programming. It all had to be done here. We had music that we could bring in, so anything that's physical, we could have access to that out here. But that was obviously very limited. So even just by the nature of transportation and technology at that time, people at that time were compelled to create their own type of media here at KYUK.
Humor is something John is, of course, remembered for. How do you describe his sense of humor to someone?
Oh, man. John had so many forms of humor because he could play to whatever audience he was in front of. So if it was me and maybe another coworker, you know, he could make jokes that I would never repeat on air and they would be so funny. But he could go in front of, you know, we could have dozens of kids in the building for one of the field trips that might take, and he would have all of them laughing. So John, he really was observant of the people around him. I think that's part of what made him so singular, is that he was Yupik 100%, but he was so interested in Gusucks like myself that he loved to kind of figure out what made me tick, what made us tick, and what kind of humor was funny, and he could modify it for whoever was in front of him. So, I mean, that's how I think of John's sense of humor. It was widely varied, but he could bring himself up and bring others up with some humor. And if me and him were having a tense moment, usually it was one of us that would just make the other one laugh, and we'd be right back where we should be.
You, as your role of general manager, then I assume probably in your other roles too, you hear a lot from the public. What were listeners' reactions to John Active? How did they speak of him?
To most of our audience, John was the embodiment of excellence. He was everything you wanted in a broadcaster. He was informative, funny, humorous, gregarious, almost always accurate, but he did have a flair for storytelling, and I think if given the choice, he would take entertaining over accuracy in some instances. I think for a lot of people, John was what made KYUK really special. So what I try to do is take those qualities of John and do my best to bestow them onto staff. But there's only one John Active.
What does that mean for KYUK? If John Active was KYUK, the apex of excellence, someone who helped develop the voice and the tone and the character and the trajectory of the station and the value system, how do you continue on without him?
Yeah. Well, it's different. So now it's kind of like, let's think about those values and let's all do our best to strive for them. Maybe I don't use those words exactly, but are we informing people? Are we being fun? Is it fun to listen to the radio? Or is it dry? You know, we want to be entertaining. And so while I continue to say John Active was singular and probably irreplaceable, we just do our best to find the qualities that he had wrapped up in a single package and find different staff members that have some of those qualities and chip in kind of as a team. I mean, we're never going to duplicate what he did, but we can try to emulate it. And, you know, I'm not afraid to say we can try and do better than what he did where possible. In some cases, it's going to be extremely difficult, but, you know, there are other cases that I think we could exceed his performance.
John, towards the end of his life, had various health conditions are affecting him, particularly a series of strokes, mm-hmm. and that affected his ability to speak, mm-hmm. and not only to speak, but in particular to speak Yupik. Mm-hmm. How did you see that affecting him and him trying to work through that?
Adjusting to the new limitations was very difficult and frustrating and trying for he and I both. And it took a lot of conversation and a lot of hard talks together to really get us both to the point where we would accept the limitations he was under and find a new path forward. And shows like Get Fahluku were part of that new path.
From what I observed is your relationship extended beyond coworker or supervisor. I saw you take him to the hospital, pick him up, maybe go check on him at home. Like you said, you would provide meat already thawed to him. How do you talk about your relationship and the roles you played in each other's lives?
I always thought of us as colleagues and coworkers first. But because we did work so intimately together, we naturally became close over time. So I did consider him a friend, absolutely. And just like any friend, I looked forward to seeing him and being with him at work and outside of work. I don't know what to say except that sometimes you meet people and you just have an instant chemistry, or sometimes you meet people, there's something about each other's qualities or values that you really admire. With John and me, I think it was the latter. You know, there was a lot of qualities in him that I admired, that I wanted to be around, and that I wanted others to enjoy. And I think it was similar for him.
How do you now describe the contributions that he made to KYUK and then public media at large?
Well, I consider him a pioneer of Native journalism and Native entertainment, especially in context of people serving their own people as opposed to serving the mainstream or, you know, Western culture. And I attribute, I don't know if it's fair or not, but I attribute the success of KYUK in large part to his contributions, because KYUK, we look at it and we're certainly not in the fanciest building and we don't have the fanciest equipment. And, you know, if people were to come from other media organizations from the outside, they might think we don't have a lot. But when I compare us to other public media stations in rural areas or other stations in tribal areas, I think of this place as very successful. And in large part, that has to do with the support from our community, whether that's in financial contributions or just fighting like hell every time our budgets get threatened, or, you know, there's a political threat to our existence. It's the community that saves us. And the reason they do that is because we provide value to them, and because they, in most cases, have a long history with KYUK. And a lot of that is because John Active brought them in and kept them entertained and engaged and learning, which is why I think most people flip on the radio or the television set to consume public media. So his legacy continues just by the mere fact that we have the support that we do. And so part of the trick for us now is like just maintaining that and then building on it.